Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning our text for our sermon is the gospel reading from Matthew 11. This summer we're reading through the gospel of Matthew piece by piece, and we look at this section from Matthew 11. The overall theme is look no further, and this morning our particular theme is Jesus gives us the clear picture of the Father. I'm going to share with you verse 27 again of that text, where Jesus said, "All things have been given over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and to whomever the Son wishes to reveal." In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends, Will was talking with his friend Kurt, both of them members of Christian church. Will said to his friend Kurt, "I get irritated sometimes that God doesn't give me more insight about what's coming up around the corner in my life. After all, it is my future, and I am entitled to know what's happening in my life. He should give me the inside scoop. I'm done worrying about my life in the future. I demand God to tell me what's going to happen next. He's got to fill me in on what I can expect over the next few years. And I ask and I ask and I ask, but all I ever get back from God is crickets. I never hear anything. I don't get the answers that I'm demanding. And that really makes me kind of mad sometimes." Kurt responded, "Well, there are many things about God that are mysterious, and he doesn't tell them all." "But he should," said Will. "Let me finish," said Kurt. "You see, what God is doing in this world is far broader and deeper than dealing with the comfort of your temporary wishes. His plan is to use everything that's going on in this entire world in order to introduce people to his Son, Jesus Christ, and because they hear that gospel, to come to faith in Christ. How God organizes all of the events of this world is beyond us, and we are incapable of understanding that picture of God's love and his salvation outside of Christ. But he's shown us Jesus, and beyond that, we leave the rest into God's hands." "But that isn't enough for me," said Will. "God needs to do things my way. God needs to tell me what's going to happen next." Now, very few of us would probably be that direct and that outright about our frustrations, about wondering what God's up to in life, because we'd be afraid that we'd get the condemnation of those who are supposed to be our brothers and sisters in the faith if we're talking. But the truth of the matter is that all of us struggle with that issue to some degree, don't we? Wondering, why does God allow the things that God allows? This past week, some of you have heard, but this past week, Thursday morning, someone broke into our home while we're all sleeping. Walk around within our home. Take my cell phone within inches of my head, my wallet from off the table, tablet. Goes up in daughter's room and takes her computer out of that room. It's just creepy and icky and probably for nothing other than some game they're playing. And I want to say, "God, why'd you do that?" So many people wanting to be nice said, "Yeah, but God probably kept you because I'm normally a light sleeper. And my girls say if they breathe when they walk through the room, I'm going to wake up." So how I could have not woken up, and people say, "Yeah, but God was with you because he kept you asleep while that guy..." And I said to my sister last night, I was talking on the phone, "Yeah, but if he's going to keep me asleep, why didn't he just keep the robber out of my house?" I don't know. There's lots of things about life that are confusing, aren't they? We can get all caught up in our personal rights and believe that life belongs to us. Think about how many times we hear such discussions these days in our culture, in politics, and people pursuing their right to pursue whatever lifestyle or choice that they want. It's my life, and I should have freedom to control everything that happens to my life. But where is God in the middle of all that picture? When I'm claiming to be Lord of my own life. And then, when God doesn't seem to be conforming to our wishes, we get all upset. And somehow, we don't think that He's living up to His end of the bargain. The real truth is, though, that we are just not understanding God correctly. Because we're trying to comprehend God on the basis of what we think we deserve. And that will never go well for us. In our gospel reading for today, it comes to us in a context. There is so much loaded up in these words that couldn't even begin to cover it all in one short little message like this. Jesus was dealing with the fact, though, in the context of all of Matthew 11, that though he and his disciples were going around and preaching the gospel and performing miracles all over the towns of Galilee, that in essence, most were not receiving that message. They were rejecting it. I'm going to just share a little bit of the context verses right before our gospel reading for today. This is from Matthew 11, starts at verse 20. It says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum." Capernaum was the place where Jesus spent most of his Galilee ministry. "Woe to you, Capernaum! Will you be lifted up in the heavens? No. You will go down to Hades. For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on that day of judgment than for you." Why were they missing the marks so badly? After all, they had Jesus, the master teacher. How could they be missing the message of the kingdom of God when Jesus was right there? Big reason? They, like most of us, somehow still get caught up in this notion that our place in God's kingdom is a matter of entitlement. And Jesus has to redefine it as grace. That's always the ongoing issue for us. So, in our text for this morning, Jesus gives us an insight into the path of salvation. How do we end up in that condition, that place where we are the saved of God? It doesn't start with an intelligent mastery of information or study. Getting saved is not about memorizing all of the catechism answers so that you can pass some kind of test. I expect my kids to know their stuff. But just mastering a bunch of facts doesn't mean that they will be saved. Salvation is not based on the level of my intellectual understanding about God. Jesus, in our text, instead bases it on simple revelation, his gift of revealing himself to us in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus bases that revelation of himself on his Son, Jesus Christ, because it's all about grace. To understand God means to understand grace. In verse 25, if you take a look at those words of our text in Matthew 11, 25, he said, "I freely confess..." That's really what the word means. "To freely confess to you, Father, Lord of the heaven and the earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants." It's not the word young children. There's a different word for that. It's the word infant. You have revealed these things to infants. God doesn't begin with my effort or my will, but God begins with His revelation of Himself. He takes what is hidden about Himself and He makes it visible to us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And in connection with that revelation of Himself is power. The power to create in me what I am incapable of creating in me. God, through the power of His revelation, chooses me to be His own and calls me to faith so that I can believe. So faith isn't an achievement. Faith is a gift. And faith, Jesus says, is something that belongs to infants. Think about tucking that verse away the next time somebody complains about us baptizing babies. It's not an achievement. It's a revelation of God Himself to us in His Son, Jesus Christ, that He gives to the infants among us. You know, infants. You know, the dirty diapers, the being totally dependent for everything, the crying, the lying there going, ah! That kind of infant. That's who we are before our God. It's not achievement, it's gift. To get what Jesus is sharing in our gospel reading this morning, we have to deal with verse 27, so I encourage you to look at that one. Jesus says, all things have been given over to me by my Father. We think about that all the time. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. We understand why, because Jesus defeated sin, death, and the power of the devil through His cross and resurrection. All things have been given over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. What does that mean? The Father knows what the Son is all about. That Jesus is the gift of grace. People want to reinvent Jesus all the time into anything but grace. To turn them into rules and laws and precepts and standards and, oh, this is how you achieve. The Father knows Jesus for who He is. He's grace, the gift of salvation. No one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Why? Because the Son has been with the Father from all eternity. And then that Son chooses, wills to reveal Him to individual people. Our ability to know God depends not on our will, but on Christ's will to reveal the Father to us. That's some pretty heavy lifting of stuff, isn't it? If you give a thought to what that verse means. Knowing the Father is impossible to me on my own. But knowing the Father becomes a possibility for my life because of the revelation of Jesus Christ to us. You see, all of this is not a celebration of humanity where we think if we just apply ourselves and work hard and study hard, we can achieve all of the things that we need to do in order to become the people that God wants us to be. If I am going to end up believing, that whole process begins with God exercising His will to reveal His grace to me in Jesus. The giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, for me on the cross. For the forgiveness of my sins. For the redemption of my body. For the hope of eternal life. Without God's revelation, grace doesn't make sense. And without grace, we just keep trying to make life with God some kind of a balancing act where we hope that there are enough check marks in our column that makes us look like we've done enough that God could love us. You can tell if someone has come to know the revelation of Jesus Christ or not by listening to how they talk about God. without grace, without the revelation of His grace, all you hear people talking about when they talk about God and relationship with God are things like goals, principles, rules, obedience, achieving. Those are all law words, aren't they? Those to whom Jesus has been revealed, those who know of His grace, won't say things like, "Well, I wonder if God's going to shut me out of heaven because I've done this or done that." People who know of God's grace talk about mercy and love and care and giving. When we take each other to Jesus' mercy at the cross, and we see God's great grace to save us, that's when we are demonstrating God's revelation of grace to each other. It's always about God saving us. That's His revelation. When we live our lives in such a way that we demonstrate that absolute resolve to take each other to that mercy of Jesus, we are showing that His baby-directed revelation has come to rest within us. That wasn't me. Okay. So going back to Will's question, why doesn't God reveal everything to us? Well, God has revealed everything to us that we need to know for our salvation in Jesus Christ. And really, that's why we're here on earth. We pray for that revelation of grace to be enough for us, to satisfy our hearts. And we thank God over and over and over again that He's let us in on the most important thing that there is to know of His grace. And then within that grace, we find comfort to know that even though we don't understand all the twists and the turns of this life, that all of those twists and turns have something to do with God orchestrating His grace in order to bring people into His kingdom, to reveal His Son to them. I don't understand how a police officer getting shot in an alley last night, I don't understand how a burglar walking through my house, I don't understand how this sickness and that failure and everything else about life, how any of that makes sense, because it doesn't make sense to me and my comfort at this moment, but to God, it makes complete sense. Because this whole earth exists for no other purpose than to reveal His Son, Jesus Christ, so that in Him we might have life. And that challenge for us to trust comes in connection then with Jesus' famous promise in this text. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." I'm one of those this morning. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you," a yoke, oxen yoke, wooden thing, goes on the shoulders of the ox, two oxen side by side. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." What does it mean if I'm taking on Christ's yoke? Well, who's in the other side? Christ. He's the one doing the heavy lifting and carrying the load through life. So He's just saying, "Come into my yoke and you're going to feel how easy this is. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's Christ's promise to us. It sounds like Jesus knows our struggles, doesn't He? And He is committed to our well-keeping, isn't He? And He moves things all along through our life so that we might know Him. And He's promised that He's going to get us to the finish line. In His care, in His strength, in His grace, we find all that we need to be able to return once more to having peace in our souls. our hearts are at peace once more. Because we know we need look no further. For Jesus is the one who gives us the clear picture of the Father. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.